This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. Stand by, Murfreesboro. The WGNS Action Line continues a search for truth.
I know you're out there somewhere.
Well, good morning to you. Welcome into the Action Line from WGNS. We're talking about education this morning. Rutherford County Schools, and visiting with us, the director of the schools, Harry Gill Jr. Harry, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Good to have you with us on this beautiful spring day. A little cooler than it has been, but it'll warm up.
Yeah, we had a great weekend and a great Monday. I'm sure it's hard for everyone to get back in school, but it's time.
Want to remind people, we just got some information on an accident to let you know about so you can avoid the area. Las Casas at Garrison Cove, and that's a busy area this morning. Especially right now, traffic's moving very slowly. That's over near Oakland High School. Las Casas at Garrison Cove, an accident with injury. A car has run off the road and struck a fence. So if it ran off the road there, I don't know which side it ran off of, but one side there's a pretty deep culvert with a creek in it. I hope that wasn't the side it ran off of. So give the right-of-way, by the way, to the emergency vehicles heading to that area. That just happened just a minute or two ago. Las Casas at Garrison Cove. You are coming close to the end of a very successful career. And first of all, I want to say thank you for all that you have done for the students here in Rutherford County as an educator, as an administrator, as a person to sort of be a good role model for everybody.
Well, I appreciate that. It's my 40th year and been a coach, teacher, principal, and now, of course, a superintendent or director as they're officially titled for the past 9 years. And it's a long time in that particular job. There's a lot of stress and a tremendous amount of challenges. So it was right for me to retire. So, but I appreciate your kind words.
Are you going to, have you found something that May? Is that?
June the 30th.
June the 30th. Once June 30th comes, are you going to have something to keep you busy and everything? Have you?
You know, I've had some calls, some job offers, but I'm really uncertain what I want to do. I'd like to kind of take it easy, unwind. Unfortunately, my knees and my back are kind of a little out of whack, so I can't play golf every day like I'd probably like to. But at any rate, I'm going to play by ear and kind of sort things out as time passes.
That's probably the best thing to do, just sort of relax. I mean, you've earned it. After 40 years, enjoy life just a bit.
Yeah, I think that's true. I started out when I was 22 as a head basketball coach and then became a principal, and this job never have really had an opportunity to relax a lot, and kind of looking forward to that. All I've ever known is pretty much pressure, and I'm looking forward to taking it easy for a while.
Now, all of that 40 years was here in Rutherford County,
yes,
is that right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
So, I mean, when you talk about you got your education here in Rutherford County, you stayed in Rutherford County, this is home. You really can address that in a personal way when people say, we really like it here. Well, you obviously really like it here because you've stayed here all your life.
Yeah, I actually moved here when I was, 7 years old. My dad was stationed at Seward Air Force Base. Went to John Coleman, and then from there went to Smyrna High School. At the time, it was a 7 through 12 school. Graduated there, went to Middle Tennessee, graduated three times. Mr. Mack, principal at Smyrna High, hired me in 72 as a history teacher and the girls' basketball coach, and been here since. So it's a pretty neat place to be, and I just enjoy it here.
As you look back over the 40 years, has education changed? Has the teaching profession changed over four decades?
Absolutely. It's just completely different than it was when I started. Matter of fact, it's really changed since I became the director of schools. When I first took over. Of course, we had no child left behind, and we still have no child left behind. There's been a waiver issued, but the pressures on teachers are enormous. First of all, the kids are a little, there's a lot of apathy among kids. You know, they don't always want to be in school. They don't always want to do work. Their parents don't necessarily push them to do well in school, but yet teachers are expected to produce incredible results when it comes to test-taking time. And there's just enormous pressure on teachers. A lot of the things that were taught a long time ago, which might have been responsibility and, you know, civics and other things pertinent to a whole child, kind of going by the wayside now. It's basically teach the core curriculum, make sure they got the content, make sure there's mastery when test time comes. And a lot of people say, well, that's a shame. We shouldn't do it that way. But at the end of the day, we don't make the rules. We have, we're judged on how we perform. So teachers feel enormous pressures.
So if you tried to bring back some of those lessons that were taught, you know, how to respect other people, because that's something that's missing these days, respecting others, having, you know, a sense of pride in doing a good job. What the government would come in and say, hey, you can't do that.
Well, that's a funny thing in itself. You know, they want you to make sure there's a lot of physical activity, make sure character education is taught, but they don't test that stuff. They don't monitor it. They don't judge systems on whether they have good character in school, whether they have you know, a lot of obesity in school. They judge four things, basically: science, social studies, reading, and math. Reading and math in particular. So you can't fail on whether you're having good kids in school or whether you have responsible children in school, but you can for the other. So the focus obviously becomes, you know, let's make sure we do well in math, science, social studies, and language. And if we don't, we're in trouble. So that said, it's taking some of the fun out, and also it's kind of limited districts with respect to some of the things they should be doing.
And you mentioned earlier, too, and I think we all have this feeling also, a lot of us have this feeling, and that is you can't get the parents to push their child to do their best at school. I remember when I was a kid growing up, and you probably do also, it was your parents, when you got that report card, if it was not good, boy, you heard about it. Nowadays, you might not hear quite as much about it, and it sort of slides along, and so do the grades. And yet you have to, as an educator, you have to prove that the kids are learning. It's a hard job.
It is absolutely a hard job. First of all, we've got a lot of good parents that do monitor what their kids do, that do check that report card, that go online and look at our online program that reflects grades. And then there are others that don't, and that's the sad part. And sometimes, not too often, but sometimes parents just automatically assume that the schools and the teachers are the bad guys, and anything that goes wrong, it's the teacher's fault in lieu of the child. And as you say, I don't remember that being an option when I grew up. You know, we went to school, and it was one of those. It was during that era when, you better not get a spanking at school. You're going to get one when you get home if you do. Better not hear from your principal. Better not hear from your teacher that you've been unruly in school, or else there'll be consequences at home. So while there's still some of that, it's not as prevalent as it once was.
When you look at programs like No Child Left Behind, things of that sort, does that create real challenges for teachers these days?
Yeah, it does. First of all, I don't think anybody wants to leave a child behind. I think we want all children to live, to learn, and it behooves us if they graduate and are successful at school. You know, it limits the crime rate in communities, et cetera, so on and so forth. But some of the expectations with No Child Left Behind were, you know, they expected certain subgroups to perform at the same level as others. You know, for example, students with disabilities. You know, they're working very hard. We're working very hard with them, but it's unreasonable to expect them to perform at the same level as a regular ed student. First of all, that's the reason they call them students with a learning disability. Same holds true. some of the economically disadvantaged or the English limited learners. When they came into the school, a lot of them don't even speak English, and you got a year's time to get them up to snuff with respect to their testing performance, or it could place you as a high priority or focused school. So there's a lot of components of it that are just almost silly. And but again, that's we didn't establish those rules, but we got to play by them.
So you're saying that if you have some students who are mentally challenged, is that a correct way?
Yes, yes,
okay.
Yes.
I want to be politically correct.
Yeah.
If you have some students who are mentally challenged and you also have some students who can't speak English, they are all tested together with the same test that the other students are given. And whatever the grade is on all of those, whatever the average grade is, that's what the county gets. Is that right?
And, well, that's in part right. I mean, it's according to the severity of the disability. Some, like, for example, if you're a student with a severe disability and your option would allow you to take do a portfolio or work with a teacher on individual testing, it's not the same. But kids that just have a, you know, minor disabilities, learning disabilities, yeah, they're expected to become proficient as if they didn't have that disability.
We, through programs like Read to Succeed, and they're doing a phenomenal job, and I hear things like there is so much percentage of illiteracy in Tennessee, and you think, how did that happen? How did they go through? I'm guessing they went through school. The students, the adults went through schools, I'm guessing. We've had mandatory school attendance for a long time. So I'm guessing these people went through school. How did they miss learning how to read? How can that happen?
That's a good question.
Does it really happen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The laws are more stringent now than they once were. As you said, we have compulsory education. The kids got to go till they're 18. I think a lot of it goes back to there's a lot of truancy in schools. There are a lot of people that go before the judge. There are a lot of people that don't send their kids to school, that don't enforce what's learned during the school day when the child gets home. And ultimately, you know, they may fail the second or third grade, and they may fail another grade, and eventually they give up. Learning's not really, they're not absorbing what's taught. Parents aren't insisting that they do, which might be the silver lining on, you know, No Child Left Behind, in that it probably forces us to really monitor those kids, catch them early, make sure that their intervention's in place to help those guys. But I think there are a lot of people that just fall by the wayside. And, you know, another thing, it's impossible to track all these students. You know, they say, student A says, well, I'm moving to West Tennessee. And we assume they do. We forward records. They don't go to that school. They move around. We got a tremendous number of transient students in Rutherford County, which also lends to difficulties.
Let's go to the phones. 893-1450 is our number. You're on WGNS with Harry Gill, Jr. How are you today?
Doing well. How are you guys doing?
Doing great. Thank you.
Good. One of my questions is, for the students that aren't mentally challenged, and I guess I want to be politically correct as well, when the students that are not, and the teachers are taking so much time with them, to be fair, it's not fair for our students that are not so challenged. And then I think they get harmed by the teacher having to interrupt or a special teacher trying to come in and make everybody feel good. What do you guys do about that situation?
Yeah, that's a very fair question. Obviously, special ed classes have a lower pupil-teacher ratio. But we also have programs, for example, for gifted kids, the Spectrum program, where a teacher is assigned basically one day a week to work with gifted kids. Also, their courses are leveled in high schools where they have advanced placement, college prep. We have magnet schools now to account for those kind of kids. But it's a challenge to address specifically what you say, in particular because we're not funded like we should be, where we could assign more teachers to basically branch out and meet the needs of more kids. But as you say, we have some kids with learning disabilities in a regular ed class, and we do what we call inclusion, where a teacher will come in and kind of monitor what takes place. But one of our big challenges is, in fact, to make sure that we challenge all levels of students.
Does that answer your question?
Politically correct, it does, but no, I mean, it doesn't make me feel any better as a parent, because I think it's neat that you have programs for the students who are excelling, for lack of a better term, but the children that are just in a regular classroom, when there's so much disruption, the teachers have to teach for this, they have to work with the people that don't speak English and all this, and then what happens is it falls on the parents to do the homework at night because the teachers are so busy trying to make sure that everything is done for everybody else. And I feel like I've already gone through school.
Yeah, I understand your dilemma. That, to a degree, is probably a bit of an issue. But again, I go back to we don't have the finances to basically, first of all, the law says you have to put a special ed kid in their least restrictive environment, which means that you put them in those regular ed classes, which does result in the regular ed teacher having to work a little extra with them. But we try to make sure, and perhaps we're not succeeding in all instances, to make sure that all the regular ed kids are getting everything they need. I would suggest in your particular case, you express your concerns to the principal, and I don't mind you calling me personally. We'll talk about your situation.
Okay. And I appreciate what the schools do. I mean, I know it's not the teacher's fault. They don't make the laws. They have to abide by the rules. So it's not that I think most of us parents are complaining. I think what we need to do is find out who makes the rules and change the rules
right,
so that works. But I appreciate you guys, and have a good day.
Yes, sir.
You know, as I was listening to him describe the classroom in which his child is involved, if you use those same words and just change the sentences a little bit, he would be describing a one-room school back in the 20s.
Right.
But the enthusiasm to learn is not the same as it was in the 20s, I don't guess.
It may be at the early level. You know, the kids probably come in with, you know, sincerity with respect to learning. But I would say this, when a teacher, a second grade teacher, a third grade teacher, for example, get 20 kids in their class, and they're expected to teach those kids, as you might imagine, they're 20 different kids with respect to their learning abilities, their home life, the problems they're dealing with, their maturity. So it's hard for a teacher to take 20 kids at the same level and move them on, and I'm not sure I know the exact solution to that.
And they're not at the same level.
And I might add that we do have programs, computers in every classroom with software to address kids that have certain challenges. We do a lot of interventions for those kind of kids. We do try to, you know, make sure those kids don't fall behind.
Good morning. You're on WGNS with Harry Gill, Jr.
Good morning, Bart.
Hey, good morning.
I met Harry, he probably doesn't remember this, but I think it was in 1976, and he was one of the best basketball coaches in the entire state back then. He hung out with a guy named Campbell Brandon over there from Lebanon. But since that time, I just want to tell you, Harry has done an amazing job as director of schools here. You think about the diverse population we have in Rutherford County and the great growth we've had in the last 9 years. And I've watched a lot of school board meetings, and Harry has such a compassion for children, but also has such a desire for learning. And I think as a citizen, I just wanted to call and tell him thank you for that time. And I really don't think he's going to be sitting around the house not doing anything. If I know him, he's going to find something to do. But Harry, I just wanted to, and this is Don, I just wanted to call you and tell you how much I appreciate you, what you've done for the town of Smyrna, what you've done for Rutherford County, what you've done to help education our community, because I think you're a hero around here. So I just wanted to call up and tell you thank you.
Well, thank you, sir. That means a lot, Don. Appreciate you.
Don, you have a great day. Thank you for calling. 893-1450. Boy, there are a lot of heroes around here, and that was one of them who called in talking to another hero, our guest this morning. Thank you for calling, Don. Hey, tell you what, if you're on the line, hold on. You're coming up next. We're going to check on the traffic and weather.
You bounce my heart around.
You got me back, put her down.
Hey, like a rubber ball, I can bounce him back to you. Rubber ball, I can bounce him back to you.
talk with the police chief, the mayor, and other local leaders about issues that concern you. Weekday mornings at 10 after 8 on the Action Line.
WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Well, the results are in. The Ford Explorer and the Ford Fusion are the most dependable cars on the market. That according to J.D. Power and Associates. Right now you can buy the Ford Explorer and the Ford Fusion at Ford of Murfreesboro. Stop by Ford of Murfreesboro today and drive one. They're at 1550 Northwest Broad Street. That's the intersection of Broad and Northfield. FordofMurfreesboro.com. Try the Ford Fusion and the Ford Explorer today.
Hello, I'm Greg Tidwell from Bell Jewelers. We carry the full line of Tag Heuer watches, all at 15% off every day. Our in-house watch technicians will replace the batteries and pressure test all Tag watches for half the price of other stores in our area. Bring it into Bell Jewelers.
Bell Jewelers on Broad Street in Murfreesboro, across from Toots.
Roberts Discount Auto Repair on Broad, across from Ford of Murfreesboro. Honest, personal, and professional service for your car. Roberts Discount Auto Repair at 896-1407. We care, and we're here to help.
Good morning once again. We still have that accident. It's an injury accident involving a single car. That's at Las Casas Road at Garrison Cove. Could cause some problems for our commuters this morning. So slow down, especially in that area. Still having lots of congestion on I-24 westbound because of several incidents we've already had this morning. Those are in the clearing stage, but still very slow through there. Don't let chips and cracks grow. When your cost for windshield repair replacement could be zero, call or stop by Glassmasters at 2172 Nolensville Pike. Call 248-5570 and ask for Bonnie. I'm Randy O'Brien with traffic on WGNS.
Thank you, Randy. And just occurred moments ago, another accident, this one also with injury, on Jefferson Pike between Lebanon Highway and Hedge Apple. On Jefferson Pike between Lebanon Highway and Hedge Apple, there's an accident with injury at that location. Be aware of that and, of course, give the right-of-way to the emergency vehicles making their way to that location. A look now at the Murfreesboro weather, brought to you by First National Bank of Murfreesboro.
We'll see blue skies and sunshine continuing across the region with a warm afternoon high near 76 degrees. And we'll see clear and starlit conditions tonight with a low of 48. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sandra Nyskie. Right now it's 57.
This is Frieda Morgan at First National Bank of Murfreesboro. We still offer checking that comes with a free check card. There's no balance requirement, and you can write all the checks you need to. First National Bank of Murfreesboro, member FDIC, equal housing lender.
When some fair weather strikes, we break in.
Meteorologist,
our meteorologist giving you an exclusive Weather Eye forecast on WGNS Murfreesboro.
Johnny. He's a bird. He tiptoed up to reach her. He's a bird. Well, he's a teacher's pet now. He's a dog. Well, he wants he can get now. Well, what a dog. He even made the teacher let him sit next to my baby. He's a bird dog.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. 893-1450. We're talking about education here in Rutherford County. The director of the Rutherford County School System, Harry Gill Jr., is with us this morning. And let's go back to the phones. Good morning. You're on WGNS with Harry Gill. How are you today?
Good morning, Bart.
Good morning.
Mr. Gill, how are y'all?
Doing well, thanks.
I'm blessed with my child has excelled really well in the Rutherford County School System. She's a... goes to Central Magnet. My question is this. I know a lot of children that are lagging behind, and is there any kind of program that that would allow these older children that have excelled to interact with these other children and maybe during school hours and to help pull them up and let them help teach under a, or tutor them under a teacher supervision, and maybe they could earn some extra credits for that. Is there any programs out there that allow that, or could we set up something that would? And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you much.
Actually, within a school, most of the schools now do a lot of peer tutoring, where kids that are excelling do, when time permits, work with kids that are in need of interventions. If few years ago, probably 6 or 7 years ago, we started professional learning communities in our school, whereby we require teachers recognize students that needed interventions or remedial or enrichment opportunities. And now almost all the schools have sometimes set aside during the course of the day to work with kids that are either struggling or exceptional students. I think we certainly don't turn an eye to those that are in need of remediation or interventions like we maybe once did. There's a lot of opportunities in school for those kind of kids to get caught up. As I mentioned earlier, we've bought a lot of software where students work and teachers work with students that are struggling. Secondly, we have summer school opportunities. We also have what we call extended contract, where we have after school or before school opportunities. We actually have principals that work after school if the parents will get their kids there with kids that struggle in mathematics or perhaps language. So we've got more and more opportunities now for those kind of kids than we had before. We have, in fact, had kids from high schools go into elementary schools, and we've had people from businesses come into schools to work with the struggling learners. So we're doing a lot of that stuff. Maybe we need to do more, but kind of pleased with where we are.
As you look back at your 40 years of work here with the Rutherford County School System, is there any one particular thing that you look back and you say, I'm really glad that I was involved in that? In that particular item, is there any one thing that you look back on you think, I think that's really made a difference?
Well, probably the position of director of schools allowed me more influence with regards to how we could improve than any other job. I do think, since I've been the superintendent, achievement has really risen. These professional learning communities may be the best thing that we've done. I was glad to be in a position to have schools built. And I think since I've been there, we've done a remarkable job getting schools, additions in schools. Despite picking up 11,000 people since I've been the director, we've only added about 8 portable classrooms, which is remarkable when you consider we had 130 when I got on board. So, and we also have gradually really focused on student achievement. We've increased it more so than ever. So, those are a lot of the things that I was involved in. I would say this is definitely the hardest job I've ever had. There are times when you wonder, you know, what was I thinking that applied for that job? The elementary principal job was a great job, a fun job. You know, you're getting hugs daily, patting kids on the head. But I like to think we've done some really, really good things. And I emphasize we because it's not the director. It's the team that he or she assembles. And we do have a good, strong team.
Is there something over the 40 years that you wish would have passed that didn't get put into the system?
Oh, heck. Rutherford County's in a bit of a quandary with respect to funding education in that we have to build so many schools. It doesn't allow us to have maybe as big an operational budget as we'd like because so much of our money goes to construction of buildings. You know, there are a lot of things I'd like to do to help the struggling learner as some of the pursuit, some of the calls we've had today, reduce the pupil-teacher ratio, maybe bring more parents on board with respect to taking accountability for their children. Those would be some of the things.
And those sound a lot like the things I remember when I was a kid, and that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I can remember portable classrooms too. Third grade, I was in a portable classroom and didn't have any real problem with it. But I remember as soon as we got to the age of having children, that was one of the issues. Let's get rid of the portable classrooms. And I thought, well, I was in one. It'd be nice probably not to have one. Probably safer in a storm not to have one. But are there any schools, systems that don't have portable classrooms?
Yeah, there are some that don't.
How did they do that?
Well, it's just mostly smaller districts. They don't have the growth that we do. You know, the thing about portables, when I was a principal at Cedar Grove, put my own son in a portable in the fifth grade because people were complaining all the time, and I could say, hey, my kid's in a portable, so don't complain to me. But, you know, the thing about it is now with, for example, it seems like every time you turn around, there's another storm coming or tornado warnings, in which case we have to bring kids in the gym. Learning essentially stops taking place. Also, there are folks out there now that might perpetuate a crime against, you know, against a kid in school or a campus, or might go in search of their own child if there's a divided family or something. So they're so much safer inside a building. And we have really emphasized safety. That's another thing I would like to, you know, kind of pat ourselves on the back for. Schools are safer now than they ever have. We do drills now that other than fire and tornado drills. And I just think the kids' mindset is to, hey, safety is important.
You have challenges now that educators 30, 40 years ago never dreamed of.
Right.
I mean, we hear it in the news every day. Kids coming onto campus with weapons.
Right, absolutely. Well, you know, we have a full-time attorney on our staff and also a school board attorney. And the full-time attorney is just overwhelmed with all the stuff that she has to rule on daily, you know, custodial issues, where a parent wants visitation rights where they may not have it, and, you know, we have to entrust that the principals understand all those laws. It's tough on them. And there are, you know, we have a few. Let me back off on the weapons deal. We have it. We do have SROs in all our schools, two in the high schools. Weapons have never been a big issue. But there are, maybe once a year you'll have somebody have a gun out in their car, and I don't remember the last time we had one bought on campus. But when we have those kind of deals, obviously they're arrested. That's a zero tolerance offense, and the superintendent has the right to modify that, let them go to an alternative school. But if they ever have a weapon in school, I don't let them return.
Now, let's talk a little about the alternative schools, and are they doing what you hope they would do? And is Daniel McKee the only alternative?
No, there are actually two, Smyrna West and Daniel McKee. You know, well, they are essentially second-chance schools. Smyrna West has an outstanding program. They have a service learning program where people from the community come in and speak. They're all in uniforms. I'm really proud of the job that Kay Davenport's done at it. She's done a remarkable job. And we've got some shoring up to do with respect to Daniel McKee, but we have a new principal out there. I think she's doing good things too. But there's probably a need for a third alternative school or to enlarge those somehow because, you know, as we've gotten close to 40,000 kids, those schools only accommodate about 200 kids. And unfortunately, there's more kids that need in there than can get in there.
Now, you mentioned, and obviously you're proud of this, that Smyrna West has uniforms. Do you feel that, you know, and this has been discussed quite a bit, do you feel uniforms would be a plus in all the public schools?
Actually, I do feel that uniforms would be a plus. When I was principal, I surveyed parents. I'd asked Mr. Ulam Watson for permission to do it, and he was supportive but a little skeptical. Because you may get 70% that want them, but you get 30% that'll fight you. But recently had a request from Principal Holloway to allow his kids to wear uniforms. I don't think it would be a real issue with respect to parents fighting you, but I do think that the pros would be, we hear so much, well, I can't afford the polo or the Tommy Hilfiger, but I can afford a uniform. I'm kind of dancing around the question here a little bit, but yeah, I certainly would support uniforms.
Now, you mentioned Holloway, because Holloway is a very unique school in itself, because instead of trying to get everyone to a certain point where they can go to college, isn't it trying to get people to a point where they can get a job upon graduation or go into a trade or something of that sort?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, it too is a second chance school. Kids, they may not make it in the regular setting. We'll go there. They can learn a trade there. They obviously take the necessary English and science and social studies courses that are required for graduation. But Holloway saves a lot of kids that ordinarily wouldn't make it. I'm real proud of Jason Bridgman. He's done a good job out there. Ivan Duggan before him did a phenomenal job. It's a real jewel in our system.
Where did we come up with the idea that everybody needs to go to college? I mean, every job doesn't require a college education, but it seemed for a while that's the direction we were going, and which ended up with a lot of frustration, I would think, because some kids just were not, they didn't have any desire to go to college, but they were being pushed in that direction.
Yeah, I don't know where that, you know, where that became the standard. I know in our particular case, we obviously have some good career and technical programs in school. We have auto mechanics, we have criminal justice, we have culinary arts, we have building and trades, we have virtual enterprise, which kids learn to trade stocks online and all those kind of deals and run their own business. And those have become extremely popular in school. And I know the school board is real excited and would like to expand those. Of course, they're expensive programs, but everybody's not cut out for college. And, you know, we do need plumbers. We do need construction workers. We need folks that lay brick and roof houses. And we're actually going to start probably a new course next in the next year or two at Oakland, a manufacturing program, and hopefully in conjunction with Nissan. I'm kind of fired up about that.
That's exciting, too, and it gets the students prepared to get a job.
Yeah.
And go into the working world and be a productive citizen.
Yes.
That seems to be what it should be all about. Good morning. You're on WGNS. How are you today?
I'm close. How are you doing?
Doing great.
You know, it's a funny thing. I was thinking about something to tell you on the talk show, and then you guys just happened to be talking about it. You mentioned education. Bart, you know, it's a shame how much money we done put in education to be in the shape that we're in.
How would you have better used the money?
So what now?
How would you have better used the money?
Like you just said, we had everything set up as though everybody needed a college education.
They need an education, though.
I said college.
Okay, right.
See, because some of my greatest people right now, you know, our only goal in America is to become billionaires, right?
Hmm.
A lot of those guys didn't go to college. Talk to me. Amen?
I don't know about that, but...
Hey, the little guy, did he invent the little computer thing out in his garage that everybody went out and bought?
That's right. He did well.
But I'm serious, boy.
Up until something went wrong.
I think we need to teach our kids nowadays. It seems like they've lost respect. So you can get all the education you want. If you don't have no respect, you're still in trouble.
We're getting a lot of head shakes, and I think we agree with you.
We've lost
respect.
Have a good one.
Thanks for calling.
All right.
Now, if you could figure out how to create respect among students, boy, you'd get a smiley face.
Well, first of all, it starts at the home with the parents teaching the child respect. You know, too many times the teachers and the principals are the catch-all. They're expected to teach respect. They're expected to deal with the child's emotional issues, the hardships at home, and it leaves too little time to teach. But respect is incredibly important in schools, and so many teachers aren't getting it, which is in part why there's an influx of those folks leaving education. So I agree with the gentleman, and I want to once again to emphasize that we do have a lot of programs in school for kids that we know won't be in college. I wish we could have more. We had a big discussion about having a centralized trade school. The cost of it would have been enormous. And so that kind of fell by the wayside.
Let me ask you this, and I hate to turn this rock over, but it sort of exposed itself just a moment ago. And that was programs that are at the schools, and we talked about lack of respect, and we talk about things of this sort. We haven't touched on teenagers being together out of wedlock. I don't guess we have to use a whole lot of words to get that message across, but it seems like the schools, in a way, are promoting it. I guess it was in the 80s we started seeing nurseries in the schools. And now, once you put it there, they grow and grow, and those are pretty well packed with little kids. Which seems to be, it looks like it's not working right. It looks like it's getting the wrong message out. And it's going to continue to get that message, it looks like, because these are students. If you look at the 80s, those people have children who are at an age that they're in school now, in high school, and they set an example, and now that example is being followed, but being multiplied as you go on. Am I the only one who feels that way?
I don't hear much pertaining to that particular issue. I guess the flip side of that is, and we do have, I know Laverne High's got a child care program, Siegel's got one. You know, kids do have kids. And when they do, the alternative is to, I guess, just let them drop out with their baby and become a burden on society, or to allow them to come to school and to let other kids learn how to deal with child rearing and maybe be taught responsibility. You know, kids make mistakes, and I'm not too sure that our primary option be say, I'm sorry, you've had a child, get out of here. Also, I go back to the No Child Left Behind legislation. You know, we're expected to graduate roughly 93-94% of our kids. So if we say, hey, we're not letting you in school, it ultimately becomes a mark against the district. So we have to do what we can to keep kids in school.
40 years ago, they didn't say you can't come to school. They would just change schools, wouldn't they? Or did they just not go to school?
No, I think most of them just
dropped out.
Just dropped out, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good morning. You're on WGNS.
Yes, sir. I just got fired up a while ago when the gentleman called about respect and teaching children respect. I'm a former teacher, and I believe, like the director said, if parents would teach their children about respect, then the academics in the classroom could go a lot further, because teachers could begin teaching academics instead of having to teach what parents should have taught at home. That's my first comment. My second comment is this. I wonder what the director thinks. Are there ways to get these fathers who, you know, there's two people involved in making a baby. And these fathers, it appears that we have more and more children without a father in the home. And personally, I believe that leads to a lack of respect for people. I wonder if the director has any ideas about getting them more involved. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
What about that?
Yeah, you know, we have PTOs. Now, this is a tough one to answer. We have PTOs. We also, most of our elementary schools in particular, have one night every two or three months, a movie night or another night where parents come in. But that doesn't get the too often doesn't get the father involved. Of course, there are also custodial issues. The mother doesn't want the father involved, which puts us in a quandary with respect to dealing with those kind of issues. But I think we probably could do a better job of connecting with, you know, local organizations where they might have influence on those kind of people, or perhaps the courts could get involved. But that's a tough thing for us to deal with.
Our phone number is 893-1450. We're talking about education. We're talking about our future. That's what we're talking about. Educating our students here in Rutherford County. The director of the Rutherford County School System, Harry Gill Jr., is with us. We're going to check on the weather, and we'll be right back.
What are we doing in a mess like this? What are we doing in love? You were just someone I couldn't resist. So that's what we're doing in love.
Now, FM 100.5 is louder, so you can listen longer. We've increased power to better serve you. This is WGNS, Murfreesboro.
Southeastern Tire of Murfreesboro has the right tires for your vehicle. Perhaps you're a rugged individual who enjoys off-roading. They have a tire for you. Or maybe you're a rap star driving around on 26-inch rims. They have a tire for that. You're a mom who's in the carpool lane daily. They have a tire for your minivan. Let's say you're a wealthy trial lawyer who drives a Lamborghini. Yes, they have a tire for you too. Maybe you drive one of those new electric vehicles. Hey, they have a tire for you. Southeastern Tire Service has a tire for every personality. They're on Broad Street, a tire or two away from Chevy of Murfreesboro.
Family Staffing Solutions.
Family Staffing has been a fantastic experience for me. I don't know what I would have done without them.
Stay independent, at home, in charge.
They have given me hope when I didn't think there was any hope.
It's just the most involved kind of relationship, and when it works, it is so beautiful.
That's Becky Buchner with Family Staffing Solutions. Personal care assistance at its best. Call 848-6774. Online at familystaffing.com.
Heritage South Community Credit Union now has a new home, 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire.
This is Darlene Robinson, branch manager. I invite you to visit us soon and find out what your community's credit union is all about. We offer free debit cards and great checking, plus exceptional rates on loans and savings. You can join if you live, work, worship, or attend school in Rutherford, Bedford, or Marshall County.
Heritage South Community Credit Union, new offices at 839 West College Street near Jennings Tire. Federally insured by the NCUA.
Weather Eye.
We'll see blue skies and sunshine continuing across the region with a warm afternoon high near 76 degrees. And we'll see clear and starlit conditions tonight with a low of 48. I'm WGNS meteorologist Sam Zanisky. Right now it's 57.
Over the years, I've encouraged you to save at Bell Furniture. Many of you have called me and said, you're right. They do have first quality name brand furniture at about half the price you pay at other stores. They have the comfortable Catnapper recliner. This has both the heat and massage unit. Regular $899, but just $599 at Bell Furniture. Save with Perry Bell and Linda Ferris at Bell Furniture. 1517 the New Nashville Highway, halfway between Murfreesboro and Smyrna.
Welcome back. Our number is 893-1450. We have just a couple of minutes left. Harry Gill Jr. is with us this morning, the director of the Rutherford County School System. And let's see if we can't squeeze in one more call. This person may have our final word this morning. You're on WGNS.
Brother Bart.
Uh-huh.
We always get the same answer. They keep telling me it starts at home. What if the home is messed up? And you know what? They make us go to school, but they don't make us go to church. Y'all ever thought about that?
I can't see that ever happening. Can you see the government saying you have to go to church?
Well, but I wish we had a little time. I was going to give you some numbers. That they said that Murfreesboro City debt. These guys are running for city council.
Mm-hmm.
And we in some big debt, and I'm trying to figure out how we keep taxing these people to death, and we're just putting debt, Mark. What's going on?
I don't know.
Can you believe this?
Let's ask Harry Gill about legislating being good parents. can you imagine that?
Well, that was about the only thing that No Child Left Behind didn't do that I used to hear from teachers on a regular basis. They make us do all this, they expect that, but there's no responsibility involved with the parents. But addressing that question, I don't know how we make parents become responsible or I agree it would be wonderful if they all took their kids to school and there were two-parent homes and kids were taught right from wrong early on. Unfortunately, that's not the case. Too many times now kids get jobs early on and they work to pay for their car and they work to pay for their electronics and the parents just go along with it. They just won't require, that they do homework or that they, watch the right kind of television or play the right kind of games. And ultimately, it takes its toll on schools and kids.
We have about 30 seconds left, and I wanted the final 30 seconds to be a spotlight on Harry Gill for you to share whatever you wanted to share with us about what you think our future is and what you'd like to see happening.
I think with respect to academics, we're heading the right direction. We got a lot of good programs in place. Do we have all issues addressed? No. Teachers are working hard. Teachers don't always get the respect they should. They get it from me because I know what a challenge they have. I would encourage parents to be respectful of teachers, get on board, make sure that your own children are respectful and working hard with them so that they can be productive.
Harry Gill Jr., our guest this morning, the director of the Rutherford County Schools, thank you again for 40 years of dedication.
Thank you, Bart.